Building in the heart of Ronville. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting. Yowza, yowza, yowza.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, all right.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm one of the people who are in the title. Guess which one? Sit back, relax, I'll take it from here. All right. Let's not get crazy here. It's just a talk show. It's not important, really. Thanks for being here today on this beautiful Thursday. This is Thursday, I guess. I don't know. I'm not really into this calendar thing. I'm still writing 2021 on my checks. Yes, I still write out checks. Ron, don't you just swipe your card or just do it all? No, don't they just? No, they don't. I write checks. I want control of my money. What there is of it, we must control. I don't know. Kids, how do you live today? How do you do this? You don't have a checkbook, so what are you balancing? Well, I just go online. I do online banking. Oh, that private online banking thing? Where everything you do in that computer machine or on your phone can be hacked, where it's going out over the invisible airwaves into the cloud. What if it's a sunny day and there are no clouds in the sky? What do you do then? Where's your storage now? Oh, God. I don't know. I don't understand it. This is what happens when you get older. You just start not understanding things because things are changing around you. I'll tell you one more time. This is an example of things changing around me. I got tickets to the ballet. Yeah, I have culture in my face. I'm going to the ballet in about a month, May. I'm going to the ballet. And I purchased tickets through Ticketmaster. And I went to print the tickets on my printer because I have one so that I can get into the damn theater. And you can't print the tickets, apparently. All of a sudden, they tell me you have to use your phone with a live scan on it in order to get in. That's the only way you can get in. Excuse me, I just paid $200. I'm getting in. No, you can't. You have to have an active phone. What if I don't have a phone? Well, I don't know what to tell you. I guess there are other things you can do, but come on, man. Just give me the damn tickets. Let me flash it in front of the usher, and they scan the thing, and I walk in. What's your problem? What's the problem with that? I don't want to talk about it again. It really pisses me off. And in the back of my mind is like, I'm going to spend a lot of money for parking and taking an hour to drive into the city. And then they say, I'm sorry, you don't have an active phone. And, I don't know the app. I don't know my password. How many passwords am I supposed to remember? I probably have 100 apps or 100 accounts at least. I don't know use the same password for all of them. That way you hack one, you hack them all. I don't understand. I just don't understand. It's the old story about human beings. You know, it's a great idea, but have you thought about like what happens to that idea in the future? What are the problems with this idea? I don't care about the problems. I just want to make money. That's the problem. Today I wanted to talk about insurance. That's been a problem forever for me and probably for you. Because not only do you buy something, but now you've got to insure what you bought. Doesn't that come like automatically in the price of the thing? The fact that I bought it, now it's mine, don't touch it. No, Ron, you got to insure it. What if something happened to it? Oh, now we're into what if something happens to everything kind of thing. Now, not only do I have to pay for this, but I have to pay to insure it to make sure that it's going to be good always. So the price is not the price. The price is a starting price. You want a car? Okay. That's a lot of money. That's tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars. All right. Thank you for the money. Here's your car. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to go drive my car. Oh, no. You have to insure it. What? Someone could take your car, or you could be in an accident, or you can be in an accident. You can hurt somebody. You better insure this thing. You better insure this thing up the ass. What? What? How much is insurance? Like $10? No, it's thousands of dollars. But I just spent that on the car. Now you have to make sure you can do the car. You mean I bought a car, but I can't do anything with it until I insure it? That's right. This doesn't make any sense. And God forbid you should get into an auto accident by mistake or maybe a temporary lapse of judgment when you're trying to, two cars are yielding. I have no idea. Your insurance rates go up. Well, I thought that's why I had insurance. Well, sort of. So now that I had an accident and it's partially my fault or maybe my fault, which I insured against, that's why I paid all that money, just in case I made a lapse of judgment here. So now my rates are going to go up. Yes. So why don't I just not have insurance and just pay the difference in the rates anyway? Because you have to have insurance. But I don't want, but you have to. But I don't want to, but you have to have it. So I don't understand why I'm paying more. If I was insured, that's why I had the insurance. Well, you're going to pay more now because now you're a risk. Well, maybe I'm a risk, but you're an idiot. I got to insure things. I'd like to get you this diamond for, here's your wedding ring. It's a Hope diamond. Well, thank you very much. All right, now I have to insure it. What? I have to insure you. What are you doing? I don't like home insurance. Do you have a house, mortgage, own it, whatever? You have to insure it. Well, what if something happens to the house? Well, I'll fix it. No, you have to have insurance. What? I don't understand it. I don't get it. Nonetheless, in one sense it makes sense, in another sense it doesn't. Medical insurance, we all have it, pretty much. Not everybody, but, you know, you're supposed to. Well, I don't want insurance. Well, all right, you're going to pay through the ass. Well, I'll pay through the ass even if I have insurance. Well, I know that. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. So, kids, today we're going to talk to an expert a little bit later in the program about insurance. I think insurance borders on a scam. I really do. I think there's a fine line between raping somebody financially for something that they bought or own and insuring it. I think there's a fine line between the two. But, you know, there's certain things you just have to do. I don't know if you realize this, but in about half a month, it will be tax time. You have to pay your taxes. If you don't pay your taxes, the IRS will just come out and annihilate you. And if you do your taxes wrong, it could be tax fraud. They can put you in jail. They can fine you a lot of money. Unless you're rich or Donald Trump, then the laws don't apply to you. I guess there's a perk, a Benny, to having been president at one time, or maybe even just running as one, but more that you were a president. So, So if you are, then the rules don't apply to you. And if they do apply to you, you can afford to have the best attorneys in the world, not just attorney, but attorneys, a team of attorneys, teams of attorneys. The rich and powerful, and the ones that are on the pedestal, are untouchable. They can dick around with the law as much as they want. Presidents can even appoint judges to the Supreme Court. Talk about dicking around with the law. And you can appoint people that are on your side, or you think they'll be on your side now for life because they owe you. So now if you get into any really big trouble, like maybe Trump might be in, like hiding documents, saying that you have all of them, but knowing full well that you don't have them, and hiring people to move them around so that people can't find the documents, and housing it on an auditorium stage or in a bathroom where you have other people over where they could just like take a look. Oh, here's a document. I'll take it home with me. I mean, that's not right, is it? No, you're not supposed to do that big time. Or you ask people to get all riled up and they go to the Capitol and start bludgeoning cops with American flags and with the instructions to hang Mike Pence. That's okay. Don't not do that. Okay, whatever. That's fine with me. I mean, that's legal too? I can stand in the middle of a theater and yell fire. That's okay. No, Ron, you can't. Trump probably could. I think Trump famously said, I can murder somebody in New York City on a street there and on Fifth Avenue, I think he said, and nothing would happen to me. And we all thought, well, that's a stupid phrase. No, it's kind of accurate. If you're rich and powerful, you can get away with anything. You can buy yourself your criminal ways. I mean, I don't think anybody argues that Trump did some really bad stuff, but not that bad. We're making it worse than it really was. Of course, if you're rich and powerful, you can bully people, you can attack their families, ruin their reputation, do a smear campaign and ruin people. That's okay if you're rich and powerful. I think also you can go to states like Georgia when you think that you may have lost the election, but no one's going to admit that. And you can have some fake delegates, and you can play with the ballots and who represents those ballots. Apparently, that's okay to do. You can mess with our voting rights. You can do that if you're rich and powerful and were a prior president. Sure, that's okay. All these things are fine. You can pay off porn stars just before a 2016 election, so that the word doesn't get out to the media. You can hide that by writing a $300,000 check. And the check was written. It wasn't Venmo or anything. You can do that to a porn star? Sure. Who doesn't write $300,000 checks to porn stars? Who doesn't? To keep quiet. Yeah. This is all okay. You can delay court trials to the point where they almost never happen. Just get the dirt on the prosecuting attorney, and then that prosecuting attorney will be the major thing, not what you did, and you can taint the whole thing. So if you lose the trial, you can always have an appeal because the prosecuting attorney had an affair with somebody. You know, You've just got to admit at some point that this is not a fair situation. On top of that, if there were a gag order, as Trump recently got, and he continued to do that or continued to malign a plaintiff that actually won the case and then continued to malign her, you'd be thrown in jail. Do you throw an ex-president in jail? We've never done that before. Well, that's because we're not going to do it. If you did any of the things that I just mentioned, and then some, you'd be in jail. Or you'd be in the court system really fast. And you wouldn't be able to afford attorneys that could save your ass no matter what the charges were. Almost simply by delaying the process. And you can speak ill of anybody you want publicly. Defaming them, it's not in the vocabulary for some rich and famous people. And that's all I'm saying. Democracy, my ass. But I guess we call this a favored democracy, where if you have enough money and power, you can get your way and not have to go through this. It costs you money to battle it, but if you're rich and powerful, it's worth it. Also puts you a top line in the news and you get off on that. Is it fair? Ask anybody that didn't pay a parking ticket or threatened a judge or started going after a judge's daughter to malign them and publicly try to ruin their family. Try doing that and see what happens to you in a split second. You'll be behind bars. But not if you're rich and powerful. And then you're good. Sad, but true. Okay. Yeah. You know, the good thing about doing a talk show is and not having a guest sitting here arguing with me is that I'm doing a talk show and not having a guest sit there and argue with me. What I say is, you know, just my opinion. I don't know what yours is. I'm just saying. Sparking conversation is not a bad thing. Fooling with the rules and regulations and reputation of people publicly is a bad thing. But nothing at this point can really stop me from saying
This is a test of the emergency Ron broadcast system. This is only a test. This has been a test of the emergency Ron broadcast system. If this had been an actual emergency, and you expected Ron to stick around long enough to warn you that there was an emergency so that you had time to get to safety before he did, you must be new here. We return you to the Ron Van Dam Show, already in progress.
That's what it is. Did you just hear what I said? We were interrupted by emergency broadcast? Not again. How many times does that have to happen? I don't know. Well, all right. My guest joins us after this and possibly going to explain all this insurance stuff to me. I don't think that'll be the case, but whatever. But first, there's this.
Everyone's doing a chicken sandwich these days, but nobody does it quite like Burger Guy. Introducing Burger Guy's new all-beef chicken sandwich. It starts with three of our signature paper-thin patties and a hearty helping of our something-like-cheese sauce on a delicious day-old bun. So what makes it a chicken sandwich? Well, every Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich is topped with a crispy Cajun spice free-range chicken beak. It's the tastiest part of the chicken. Science tells us so. The new all-beef chicken sandwich. Available for a limited time, only at Burger Guy.
The Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich is available as a meal combo with the Burger Guy metric ton of fries and keg of soda. The Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich contains less than 2% chicken by weight and should not be confused with a chicken sandwich containing more than 2% chicken. Consult your physician before eating anything at Burger Guy, ever.
David A. Sampson joins us now. He's president and CEO of the American Property Casualty Insurance Association, and we're talking about car insurance. And hey, I just noticed throughout in my entire life that car insurance rates keep going up for some reason. Thanks for being with us today, David.
My pleasure.
Well, I guess everything goes up a little bit every year, but car insurance just kind of like, that's different. What's going on with that? Why do things keep going up?
Well, we went through a period of about 10 years where car insurance rates were very modest increases.
Yeah.
But auto insurance premiums are being impacted right now by four-decade-high record inflation that consumers also face every time they go to the grocery store and go to the gas station.
Yep.
It costs the cost of parts and labor to repair cars has increased very significantly over the past 5 years. The cost of motor vehicle repair have increased by more than 20%. The cost of repair parts has increased 40%. A lot of that has been impacted by disruptions in the global supply chain for auto parts that we experienced throughout the pandemic period. And really, those supply chain disruptions have not completely gone away. And so inflation is increased cost of inflation is really what's driving the increase in insurance rates right now.
Yeah, and inflation driven by that that damn COVID thing, because that's when things started to get all out of control and a possible recession and depression, and had to pull out all the stops to make sure that didn't happen. So it's like the perfect storm sometimes. But here's
well, it really is.
Yeah.
And mentioning I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go on.
Well, I was just going to say that, of course, as you know, during the pandemic, there was a significant drop in auto accident frequency as more and more people were working from home, not getting on the road as much.
Right.
But once those COVID restrictions were lifted, auto accident frequency and severity have returned with a vengeance. And then when you look at how sophisticated modern vehicles are with all of the embedded technology, even if you're in a relatively minor fender bender, the cost of replacing bumpers and mirrors and all of those sensing devices has really also driven up the cost of auto repairs. And then when you have to, when insurers have to replace those cars when they're totaled out, either with new cars or used cars, used car prices have increased 38% over the last 5 years. So it really is a perfect storm.
Yeah, it really is. And of course, we're not driving cars anymore. We're driving computers. And I assume that's quite expensive too.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I had a little fender bender on a new Chevy pickup truck here recently on the ranch. And my goodness, it cost $1,800 just to repair and replace that bumper because of all of these sensing devices that are embedded in those bumpers now.
Yeah. You know, the consumer gets the idea that if you're in an accident and it's somewhat your fault or your fault, you're going to end up paying the entire cost of that accident over the years anyway in premiums. I mean, is that accurate? Or, I mean, I guess that's how insurance companies,
Yeah, not exactly, Ron. Of course, your driving record does factor into your auto insurance premiums. But when you buy an auto insurance policy, what you're really buying is a period of coverage for a year.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what you're buying.
I gotcha.
When you buy
an
insurance policy. But your driving record obviously stays with you for a period of time.
Yeah.
And
yes, it does.
If you have a lot of tickets or accidents, then your premium is going to be much higher than the consumer who hasn't had tickets or accidents.
Yeah. Well, okay, so that's the situation. Now the question is, what do we do about this? How do we control our insurance costs?
Well, there are lots of things that individual consumers can do. So first of all, shop around. Insurance, auto insurance is still a very highly competitive industry. There are many, many companies out there that would love to have your business and insure you, so shop around. Talk to your agent about bundling your auto insurance with other coverage needs, like your homeowner's policy or rental or boat or motorcycle policy. Consider raising your deductible. You can raise your deductible if you're in an accident, and that will lower your monthly premium. Talk to your agent about discounts that are available, like good grade discounts for teenage drivers. And also ask your agent or your insurer if they have telematic policies that reward safe driving behaviors with reduced premiums. And if you're one of those people who don't drive a lot, maybe just on weekends, consider a pay-as-you-go policy that could significantly lower your premiums.
I mean, the law is that you have to have insurance. And then liability can put you out of business financially if you don't have coverage. So, I mean, there's no choice really, but there are ways to modify, as you've just pointed out.
Exactly. And, you know, if you go out and buy a new car and you've got a loan on that car, the bank wants to make sure that you've got insurance coverage that can replace that car or repair that car. Going naked with coverage is not a good idea for your own personal finances.
Yeah. Let me ask you, David, does customer service, in case you have an accident, does that play into it at all? I mean, I've been with insurance companies where, wow, they're taking care of everything. They even give me a loaner car. I mean, my God, this is wonderful. Am I paying for those luxuries?
Well, yeah, I guess the question, Ron, is that a luxury or not? I mean, every policy is going to be different, but yes, customer service and claim service is a very important part of an insurer's expenses. You don't want to have an accident and then not have your insurance company be responsive to damage. You don't want to be left without a car while your car is in the repair shop.
Right.
And that's the other thing. It's taking longer to repair cars today. Cars are spending a lot longer in the auto body shops to be repaired because of the complexity of modern cars. Claims handling services is a very important dimension of your insurance policy.
A quick question. I want to throw as much at you as I can within my time allotment here, because I could talk to you for hours, but I'm not supposed to. Is it insurance wise? Is it better to lease or own?
Oh gosh, that's really not an insurance question. That's really a question about your own personal driving habits, how long you're going to keep the car, how many miles you're going to put on a car every year, because leasing a car will come with mileage caps, annual mileage caps.
Yep.
So the insurance is not going to be that much different from one to the other. That's more a question of your own personal needs and driving patterns.
Okay, excellent. All right. Well, if people have more questions and need some guidance, I know that there are places to go.
There certainly are. And you can go to apci.org/costdrivers to learn more about all of the factors that go into increasing insurance premiums.
Excellent. And let me repeat that for those that want to repeat it. That's A as in apple, P as in peach, C as in cantaloupe, and I as in any fruit that begins with I. And it's pretty much where to go, .com. I'm sorry, .org. .org.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. And, of course, Independence Insurance Agents as well. Well, thank you to my guests. Thank you to you for being here. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.